Next is a talk on Prabhupada's disappearance day in Vrindavan, India, 1992.
Srimate Bhakti Vedanta Swamini Ji Namane. Namaste Saraswati Deve Gauravani Kucharani Nirvishesha Sanyavani Pastitari Sutani. As I try to prepare to speak something on this occasion, anything I thought of I was dissatisfied with, even though I could think of many scriptural references. It didn't seem to be coming from my heart. So finally I was left with just two images or metaphors. And at least I feel these from the heart, so I'll speak them, but please excuse me if it's not very learned. One image I'm thinking of on this day is of this bell which rings here in Krishna Balaram Mandir. And another image is from New York City, the very particular place outside of the storefront where Prabhupada began ISKCON. I'm thinking of a piece of curb there and the gutter. So let me explain. This bell was discussed last night by Dhananjaya Pandi, Dhananjaya Prabhu, how he was temple president and our Srila Prabhupada asked him to put this bell in. There were so many mishaps and it was a test of surrender for Dhananjaya. So I would imagine that when Dhananjaya hears this bell, it evokes all these associations of his surrender to Prabhupada. For a casual visitor to the temple, the bell is just a quaint way of keeping time. For some of us, it's an interruption when we're giving the Bhagavatam class, and some people may not even notice it. When I hear this bell ringing, it says to me that Prabhupada is gone. Prabhupada is gone. And the reason I feel like this is because I was present here in his last days. And often it would be very quiet and Prabhupada wouldn't be talking hour after hour in his room. And we would measure time just by hearing that bell on the half hour and on the hour with this long resonating ring. We would sit around Srila Prabhupada. And he requested us to hold a very soft kirtan, which we did with small kartels. And again, hearing that bell. So, this sentiment is one of sadness and loss. Although the Vaishnava Siddhanta tells us that the Guru is not gone, he is in his Nitya Lila, but he's also present in his Vani. We feel this loss. And this is also not a wrong thing. Even Raghunath Das Goswami expressed sadness, a great grief at the disappearance of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Swarup Damodar, so much so that he could no longer reside in Puri, Jagannath Puri, because of so many memories of them. So he came to Vrindavan, where he was going to commit suicide, but Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami preserved his life. But after some years, when Srila Rupa Goswami parted from the world, Raghunath Goswami again felt great grief at the departure of the Vaishnava, so much so that he said he saw the Govardhan Hill to be like a python before him, or rather the Radhakund to be like a python and Govardhan Hill to be like a tiger, because seeing those places reminded him of the many pastimes of Sri Rupa Goswami there. So somehow, whenever I hear this bell, I think of Prabhupada's last days, and I think Prabhupada is gone. And also, I think of another thing, and that is that I will also go, or die, or leave this body. There's a line in a poem by the 16th century English metaphysical poet John Donne, who says, "Do not ask for whom the bell tolls, it tolls for thee." This means that he's hearing a bell announcing someone's death, and he knows it is actually his death, which will come. So I hope that I can follow Srila Prabhupada with some advance warning at that time to come to Vrindavan and remember him intensely, and even hear the bell as he heard, and follow him and his followers back to Godhead. The other image I thought of today, in a quite different mood, is from 1966. I remember sitting on the curb. A curb is the edge of the sidewalk where it meets the gutter and the road. A lowly place, a dirty place. So I was sitting there one Sunday morning after Swamiji, as we called him then, had finished giving his lecture. I had only heard a very few lectures. I was not initiated. And I was not committed to serve him either. So his lecture was over. I was sitting there looking down Second Avenue and trying to think what I would do for the rest of the day. And I can't even mention in this respectable assembly some of the things I was considering doing. But while sitting in that dangerous spot, one of the devotees or boys came out and he said that the Swami wants to see you. So I went in, and Prabhupada was still in the storefront. He asked me, "Do you have to work in your office today?" I said, "No, it's Sunday. No work." He said, "Then I would like to invite you to come. We have a feast in my apartment." So I went to that feast. There were about 10 people there. And actually, the Swami cooked, and he even served us. Prasadam. We did not know the etiquette that we should not be served by him. But he so kindly served us a very delicious prasadam feast. And lately, remembering that, I've been thinking, why did he do that? Why did he call me from the gutter and bring me to his feast? It's not that he wanted to share his time just to be with such fallen people as young Americans in New York City. He had no gain, but it was just his compassion. He wanted, on the order of his spiritual master, Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur, who was compassionate. Our Srila Prabhupada also was compassionate, and therefore he wanted us to come and sit with him for the purpose of his giving us his personal association and to actually turn us into devotees to serve Lord Krishna. So I very happily think of that incident, and when I think of why he did it, it fills me with some realization of Prabhupada's compassion. So I have only those two images to share with you today, and I will go on hearing all the other Vaishnavas. Thank you very much. Prabhupada.